Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
NFL Sunday.
NFL Sunday is brought to you by
Ketch's Law Group, the personal injury pros at ketcheslaw.com.
The New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass.
Zuti, build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zuti.com for details.
And the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. Time now for NFL Sunday, broadcasting from the best yet private brand studio.
With Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins, alongside Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe.
NFL Sunday is brought to you by
Ketch's Law Group, the personal injury pros at ketcheslaw.com. The New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass. Zuti, build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zuti.com for details. And the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers.
NFL Sunday
with Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, and Keith on WEEI.
The Miami Dolphins, the greatest football team. New England goes there and can't score and gets beat like never seen. I hate that stupid Miami Dolphins song. They ripped it off from the Houston Oilers, by the way.
They stole the song.
They did steal the song.
They sampled it, maybe.
And I would say that the San Diego Chargers kind of did their own version of it also. Everybody took it from Houston.
Chargers
kind of created
version.
Their own. Well, yeah, but they kind of, I feel like the music bed and the inspiration
very
was from
similar.
Houston.
Very similar.
It's very 70s really what it is.
Houston doesn't have a team, or at least they don't have that team. San Diego doesn't have a team. No. So now I guess Miami's last one standing with it.
They're the only ones left. Yeah. You're exactly right. It is Gresh. It is Fourier. It is Keefe. No Wiggy today as he is delivering a kid across the country. I do believe he will be back tomorrow as a part of the Greg Hill Morning Show, where we will be recapping the game that we are previewing today here on NFL Sunday, and that is the Patriots are at the Miami Dolphins. Of course, the schedule makers in the NFL doing all of us no favors by pushing that game back to 4:25 this afternoon. And of course, the boys led by Glenn Ordway will have you on the real postgame show after Patriots Dolphins tonight right here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. And, you know, Fourier, Keith and I kind of had a running joke.
Okay.
For probably the first 7 weeks of the regular season. We would look back and say, boy, that Miami loss or that damn Miami fumble. And now we're sitting here some 17 weeks later, and it really drives home the point that week one against the Dolphins have cost the Patriots in a very big way here in week 18 against the Dolphins.
Yeah, I know. It's been like an anchor. Just kind of dragging everywhere they go. They just pull that freaking loss with them week one. But technically, they made the playoffs. And technically, win or lose this game, I mean, it has seeding implications, I guess. But ultimately, it doesn't stop you from, you know, achieving your goal, which is what I originally thought it would be. I originally thought that it would come down to whether or not they beat the Miami Dolphins and whether the Dolphins be playing for anything. They're not, and it doesn't. So has it really had the impact that you thought it was going to have?
Yes, like it has. And actually,
okay,
it's had a bigger impact than I thought because
–
I think the AFC is still wide open, and with there being only one first-round bye and, you know, obviously one team with home field advantage, that might be the difference in who gets to the Super Bowl this year. And now that's what that loss means, is you have to play wild card weekend. You're probably going to have to play it on the road, by the way. So not only do you win the division and you're the number one overall seed, that is so significant. So you're right, Fourier. They are in the playoffs. And at the beginning of the year, that was the goal. kind of similar to the Red Sox, though. Like, things can change. Like, your goal can be, hey, let's be 500 and scrappy. Oh, wait a minute. You're this good? You end up, you know, you're leading the division for a while. You should probably hold on to it. Oh, you don't do that. You should at least do some damage in the playoffs. And I think things have changed a little bit for the Patriots, because I don't think anybody thought they were going to start the year 2-4 and then find a way to make the playoffs. But the way things have fallen into place, they shouldn't even be playing next week. Like, they really should be the number one overall seed, which is wild.
Do you think it's because of the way, because the way they lost that? Because if they just got flat out beaten, you'd be like, all right, you know what? They were better than us. But
yeah,
the way
100%
they fumbled the ball four times. They lost two of them.
Yeah,
penalty.
Because they got,
1-4 in the red zone.
I look back at the New Orleans game, and just like on paper, you're like, oh, they should have been able to beat the Saints at home. But they didn't. Like, they had their opportunities. They lost. They lost by double digits. So I don't chalk that one up. Like, that's the difference. A lot of teams have bad losses, right? Like, the Bills lost to the Jaguars. Like, that is as bad of a loss as there is. But it's really the circumstances where the Patriots had the ball. They were driving. They were down by less than a field goal. And as the season has played out, their field goal kicker is very, very good. So the chances of them just picking up a couple more yards, bleeding the clock, and kicking a game-winning field goal are really, really high. It's not like these other games where, all right, well, against the Saints, they needed to stop Kamara, they needed to stop Taysom Hill, they needed to prevent the fourth. Like, there's too much in that game. There's one thing in the Dolphins' loss.
Well, it's also the butterfly effect as well, because you go to Buffalo and beat them. If you had that Dolphins win in your pocket, it's another AFC win. It would have been the only one against you at that point in time, I do believe, as I'm trying to think as I'm speaking here. But it also took away your buffer, Christian.
Yeah, that's
like,
yeah,
think
you're
about
padding.
It. Yeah, like,
yeah,
think
you
about it.
Padding.
They even, so even with that loss, they still, at one point in time in early December, had control of their own fate in getting to the number one seed. And if you'd had another win there, boy, the cumulative effect it would have made on this team's mentality and everybody that they were playing against, including, you know, turning up the old pucker butt on the Buffalo Bills. That's why I look back and think, God dang, if you don't fumble and you kick that field goal, this is, and instead of today kind of being like, all right, let's get it over with where no one gets injured, it's, oh my God, we could be talking about a week off and in a wide open AFC, we could have got excited about maybe going to L.A. or Dallas or whatever COVID-friendly area they're going to move the Super Bowl to.
So you think, so when the season is over and 10 years from now, we look back at this 2021 season as of what could have been depending on how they finish, the first thing we will all say when we're dead and buried, okay, it will be, what, that damn first game at home against the Dolphins?
There's a lot
that
of
was
that.
The difference. Yes. That was it. That's going to be the first thing that's written.
Yeah, because remember on Friday we were talking about some of the Patriots-Dolphins matchups from the past, and 2015 stands out to me. At the end of the year, they go Steven Jackson, let's try to establish the run, didn't work, and you lost home field advantage. And then you ended up losing in the AFC Championship game to the Broncos. So, yeah, I mean, I guess how you lose in the playoffs, or if they lose in the playoffs, will be the first thing that pops out. But then, why were you in that situation? Just like when the Patriots lost in 2019. They lost to the Titans, but doesn't everybody go back to the, how did you not stop Ryan Fitzpatrick? Turns out the defense was fraudulent the whole time.
And you remember, well, you started 8-0 that year.
You started 8-0,
and it was miserable Brady,
8-0. Yep.
Where it was as if he was telling you.
But I think you'll remember this. If they end up going, let's say, hypothetically, they end up being a wild card, and then they lose to Buffalo in the first game. Worst case scenario, right? Mm. If that happens, you will say, you know what? They shouldn't even have been in that game.
Yeah.
Like, they shouldn't even have been there. And again, it is definitely singular to the Miami game, because they had other close losses, but nobody, and I think because they're in their right mind, says, if Nick Folk just drills a 56-yard field goal in a monsoon, they like, nope. That nobody expected that win, first of all, or even that kick to be made. They lost in overtime to the Cowboys, so that game clearly could have gone either way. But there's not like a singular play where you're like, oh, that should happen, and to an inferior opponent. The Dolphins game stings. Stings big time.
It does.
And the only way for it not to sting, I think, would be for them to make like the AFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they win a couple games on the road or whatever, and you're like, all right, well, at this point, whatever, like it clearly didn't affect them that much.
You'll still bring it up though, because if they make it the AFC Championship game, we're going to sit there and say, man, they could have been here in New England, not in Tennessee.
True.
They could have been like, you know, nice little comfortable little atmosphere.
They're a good road team,
instead of going on the road.
They're a good road team. Great road team.
That part is true. The other thing I think is interesting is just like the guys that it happened to. Like, and not to point any fingers,
no,
but the guys that are, you know, as far as offensively that are responsible, because I can go back to first and 15. If you really want to go back and see what the problem was, it wasn't necessarily the fumbles. It's the fact that it's first and 15 after a penalty, and then they get 14 yards on the very first pass on a slant route because there's like 10 yards of cushion. And then they get a first down, then the clock is over, and then the game is basically over. But Ramondre Stevenson with a fumble, Damian Harris with a fumble. Two of your most important players on your team. Like, two of your most important players, yeah. You know, Stevenson gets benched, Damian Harris is like, well, you don't have any choice. Next thing you know, like, James White is hurt for the year. Then Brandon Bolden is like, God, does he have any speed whatsoever? But now he looks great. And then Harrison and Stevenson, you could say, are probably your two most important offensive weapons on this team, taking the quarterback out of the situation, right. Just based on, like, their identity is running the football. They don't have one badass back. They have two. And they're pretty damn good as far as, you know, being dominant.
And when you think of the season the Patriots have had and the run that they've been on in terms of their season, how about the Miami Dolphins, whose only win for the first 2 months of the year was the one we've just talked about against the New England Patriots. Then they go on a 7-game streak. They lose to Tennessee. They find themselves in well, with nothing to really play for in terms of playoffs today. But Mac Jones earlier this week with Maloney and Fourier talked about how the Dolphins have changed week one to now.
They've done all sorts of different stuff throughout the year, and I'm just trying to find a way to obviously pressure more and do all that, so... You know, they played really, really well and towards the middle to end of the season. And, you know, they have good players over there. So we got to be ready to go. And I think it's just going to be a different game than what we had the first time. It's a new game and they can do whatever they want. And that's just going to be how it is. So,
Christian, we know these teams are different. But today for New England, what is the delicate balance between trying to put your best foot forward, but also, we'll use the NBA term, engage in some load management today for some of the guys that you need next week?
This one's interesting because I always wonder, like, what the goal is with this particular week and this game. Is it, listen, hey, let's get two in a row, let's get into the playoffs, and let's, you know, we're going to try and win this game? Or, based on how the games end and who beats who, like, is there any way for them to manipulate the seeding? Like, if there's a way to manipulate the seeding based on the matchup that they want, I do not think they're against, you know, forcing the issue. And I would say forcing the issue, I mean, you know, making sure that they lose. Or, you know, I mean, because other than that, they just try to win. So I personally do think it's important for them to win this game. Just for the overall, listen, it's Miami. You can never freaking win there. Something always comes up. You know, I just don't feel like you want to feel snake bit going into the playoffs. Like, I don't. I know it's new season. I know, but it does have a slight residual effect. It does, you know. And I just think it would be nice for them overall, especially the way they lost that game, to just kind of right some wrongs. I feel like there's some revenge factor there that none of them are going to admit, but they're going to want to beat them. Like, I just feel like they are. But I do think that it all depends on who they want to play if they have that opportunity. Because I don't know if they even will. It seems like Cincinnati will have a bigger opportunity to dictate terms than the Patriots would based on who they want to match up against.
Yeah, well, with Cincinnati, though, they just have a lot of injuries and guys that are out. That's the, like, and I know Cleveland stinks, but.
I mean, you're starting, Brandon Allen?
It's
and
like
your
preseason game
back,
number three for both those teams, it feels like.
Yeah, but
like
if Cincy loses.
Since he loses and Buffalo wins the division, then it's and New England handles business. It's New England going to Cincy, which is
that's
what
my point.
I want. Yeah,
that's my point. So I sat there and go, if I'm Cincinnati, I don't know if I want to play New England, or maybe I do want to play New England. That was just like when it comes to this time of year, I don't think anyone should feel any coach should be ashamed for losing on purpose. I guess that's my point. Like, why not? What is it? The Raiders and the Rams? No, Raiders and the Chargers. If they tie, if something happens.
Well, no, but they need the Colts to lose.
The Colts,
which
that's
is
what it
unlikely. Is. The Colts play the Jaguars. So yeah, there's a lot of scenarios, and a few of the teams that are involved in said scenarios are massive favorites. So it doesn't mean there won't be an upset, but.
And I think what Christian is kind of getting into, and Keith and I joked about this for you, if you go all the way back to the early 2000s, when Matt Cassel kind of threw it into the second row of
I remember
section
that. I remember
111,
that game.
That's the kind of stuff you're talking about.
Yeah. Wait, the play was called Sticks or something like that. It was like
sticks.
Corners.
Yeah. Sticks, like, right. Yeah. It was called Hit the Guy Holding the Sticks Up in Section 310.
Yeah. Ben Watson was supposed to run like a – you're always supposed to run your route at like 8 yards, and I feel like he had to run it at 10 because you had to get a touchdown. He ran it deeper than he was supposed to, and then Castle just threw it over his head, like into the sticks.
It was great
the militia.
That is, that's where one of the militia guys probably caught it. We are off and running on this edition of NFL Sunday Sans Wiggy. We'll get into the Patriots offense against the Miami defense. At 10 o'clock, Tom E. Curran will join us. We will talk at 10:45 about whether you want Buffalo or Cincinnati in the playoffs. Andy Hart with us in the 11 o'clock hour. We also have a lot of NFL news to get to. Some big moves that are going to go down in Pittsburgh. Apparently, Cleveland's going to stick with Baker Mayfield, and Bill O'Brien back in the news once again, and it's for a job other than the Jacksonville Jaguars. All that coming up on this edition of NFL Sunday.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
More NFL talk, more often. This is NFL Sunday
on WEEI.
They give you a lot of different looks. They're not afraid to pressure and max pressure and see if you're able to handle those types of things during the course of the game. They mix up their coverages. They're going to play man. They're going to play zone. They're not going to show you their hand most of the time before the ball is snapped. They do a really good job of disguising. And there's always going to be some element of new to the game plan when you're preparing for them.
That is Josh McDaniels, the New England Patriots offensive coordinator, talking about Miami and that very aggressive Dolphins defense, 9-23. This is NFL Sunday. It's Gresh, it's Keefe, it's Foyer. Christian will be out for the 11 o'clock hour to go do the TV where, of course, coming up at 4:25, it is the Patriots and the Dolphins. And Keith, that's one thing about Brian Flores, that once he got control of the defense here in New England, it was all about being aggressive. And I wonder today, what's going to be the fine line for Miami? Do they empty the tank and say, we're just throwing everything at this kid, we don't care? Or is it the, well, we want to protect our guys too, and we know this game doesn't really mean anything to us, so We'll show you a little bit, but we'll really start to get stuff ready for the 2022 season.
Well, it is weird with the Dolphins just because they went on that 7-game winning streak, played themselves all the way back into it, and they were one of the teams that was in the hunt, and they needed things to break their way. They get smoked last week, and then they're eliminated. So it was like all that run, like 8 straight games that really kind of mattered to them, and they were playing well. And now it doesn't. And so you say, all right, how are they going to treat this game? Because, like, another bunch of teams in Week 18 doesn't matter. So, for you, you could speak to it more. Like, there are a bunch of guys out there that maybe are in their last year of their deal. So they need to have – they want to finish strong, have another good game tape, and put that one out there. There are some guys that are under contract or, you know, first or second year guys. They're like, all right, this was a long season. We tried. We gave it a good run, but it's over. Let's just kind of pack it in. So – I don't know what to make of the mentality of the Dolphins. I'm sure Flores wants to win. You get a winning record. That's nice to have on your resume. But you know you're not going to the playoffs. So it's got to be kind of weird. I think everybody might be approaching it a little bit differently for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I saw something yesterday that was interesting. Teddy Bruschi was talking about it. It was in the Chiefs. What was it? The Chiefs.
Broncos.
Broncos game. And the quarterback, Drew Locke, was running for a touchdown, and whoever the safety was completely turned it down because it was like he was getting closer to the he was getting closer to the end zone, and it was kind of obvious that he was going to score. Probably had an 85% chance of scoring, but the safety completely turned it down. Didn't even try to hit him, and that to me is a sign of a team that's like, you know what, I don't want to go into the offseason hurt. I don't want to get myself knocked out. I just don't want to hurt my offseason.
Right.
So they're in the playoffs, but the game for them is also important. So it is cool. It is interesting because I remember when we were out of the playoffs, like when I was with Seattle, we were playing the Broncos who were going on a Super Bowl run. And I had like one of my best games of the year because they didn't give a crap. I mean, I ended up getting a guy. I had like they flat out weren't covering me. Like we weren't even in the game, and I remember I just kept catching passes and passes and passes. and it was great because I remember getting off the field and then talking to my agent, and he was like, "That's perfect. I can work with that." I ended up re-signing. I was a free agent. It was like the best thing that ever happened. It was like great.
Meaningless game. They're like,
no, it was completely
look what
you meaningless.
Can do. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. It was great. I had all these cool catches, but yeah, and most guys are not like that though.
Right.
So if they're not like that, they have to have like internal pride. So what do you think? That's 40%?
I was going to say, maybe? It's a very mixed bag. You're 11 guys on defense. How many of them are going balls to the wall today?
Well, you mentioned the bag. It depends on how big a bag I might get in the offseason. I'm looking at it according to over the cap, and some of this may have changed, but you've got guys like Will Fuller, Emmanuel Ogba, Philip Lindsay, Justin Coleman, Alandon Roberts, Mike Gesicki. These guys are all scheduled to be free agents at the end of the year. So Fourier, there is that. That's one of the thoughts that I had is, okay, these guys are going to go out there and they're going to try to play hard, but are they really going to go balls to the wall? Because an injury for some dudes, like imagine Mike Gesicki ends up getting hurt in a game today, or a Gesicki type guy who you think is going to go get big money in the offseason, and he ends up getting hurt in week 18 in a completely meaningless game for the first time we've had a 17th game in the regular season,
right.
And it affects that guy going into free agency. I know it's kind of the dirty underbelly of the NFL, but this is the time of year where guys go into business for themselves.
You know what it feels like? It feels like a bowl game.
Yeah.
It feels like a bowl game. Like, okay.
Oh, that's
we're not
an
really nobody's
thought.
Really we don't really care about rankings, and it really does. You got seniors that are going out that may be going in the league, others that are just pissed off at their coach, and some young guys that are trying to use this as a springboard into spring ball. And the coaches, it's like, they have to make sure so they're still coaching you up. So it is interesting. It is because it's like you just if you're the better team, you can't let your guard down. I will tell you that you can't let your guard down and act like it's a not important game, because that's when you'll get hurt. That's when you'll get embarrassed. That's when you just will just string a couple bad plays together. You just don't want to do it. So you want to finish strong. You want to throw 4 touchdowns. You want to get a bunch of tackles. This is the life you chose. You got to deal with it. But the Dolphins, different scenario.
Yeah.
Totally different scenario.
And I think with the Patriots, too, like if they get a call on the sideline at halftime, or they're in the locker room at halftime and they see that the Bills are losing to the Jets by a touchdown. Then all of a sudden, you can't take your foot off the gas. Now the division is there. You're a half a football away from maybe winning the division. Flip side of that, though, is if you find out that the Bills are up 31-0 at the half, I'm not saying you don't try in the second half, but that's the opportunity for me where, all right, Damian Harris has had a lot of these different hamstring issues over the last month. You're out. You know, Adrian Phillips, you're out. Isaiah Wynn or whoever, all these other guys that were on the injury report this week, you're out. Now, the guys who are out there still try to win, and for whatever, like whether it's individual or just the Fourier's thing about the momentum going forward. But at that point, you really have nothing to gain. Like, as far as seeding or anything, like you have nothing else to win as a team. So just try to get out of there as healthy as possible.
Does momentum carry over this week to the next if you're a playoff team, Fourier?
See, I believe it does, but maybe that's just this, you know, superstitious part of me, you know. And I do believe that. So, like, I would just, you know, certain examples like 2002 or 2003. You know, we played, and I feel like this game is similar. We played the Buffalo Bills, got our ass beat 31-0. Lori Malloy game, you know, playing up there, embarrassing. And then we had the opportunity to play the Buffalo Bills again at home, and we beat them 31-0. I can remember how much fun that game was. And it's pretty much meaningless. We only lost two games. We were the number one seed. Nothing was going to change. I just remember it being a lot of fun as opposed to other games that really feel like work. This one was like a bowl game with a really good team that was still intact but was going to beat the crap out. So everybody was getting involved. Larry Izzo had a pick in the end zone. I remember all of us going crazy for Larry. It's just, you know, because he never played. I'm like, oh, my God, we got to try and keep this 31-0. Sure enough, he gets a pick. So the atmosphere and the environment was just so much fun. And I think that's what you're looking for. So – like, will they change the way they play the game? Like, if, you know, the Bills beat them and there's nothing can change? Probably. I would say Hoyer goes into the game. Matt comes out. You know, Harris doesn't play anymore. I mean, who knows? But for me, it was they're kind of important.
So 2014, that's the Seahawks Super Bowl, right? The Malcolm Butler Super Bowl.
Yes.
They lost the last week of the season. They played the Buffalo Bills. Didn't mean anything. Brady played, I think, a half, and then Jimmy Garoppolo played the rest, and they lost to the Bills. And remember, well, we had Eric Wood on during the season, and former Bills center, and he was like, oh, yeah, my record against the Patriots is whatever it was.
He's three wins.
I have three. Oh, yeah, three and whatever. And he's like, but one of them they didn't play. No, two of them they didn't care about. And like another one, like even he knew that it was like they weren't real wins.
I think he said they sat everybody in one of the wins. Yeah.
And so that was one where, you know, you look back, they went 12-4. They won week 14, 15, 16. Maybe that built up the momentum. And then they kind of laid down to the Bills. They finished 12-4 and then still went on a run. So I'm not discounting what Fourier is saying, like for the players to want to play well and then, you know, carry that over to the next game. But there are certainly examples of a team not really caring about the result and then still being able to pick it up once the postseason
begins.
Well,
Keith, what do you think? Like, so I guess 2007 was different and unique on its own, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, just based on the fact that
undefeated,
you know, the Colts being in the same situation, like basically 2 years in a row being 14-0, 2 years in a row, and then neither time trying to continue the streak and become undefeated in the regular season.
Right.
They didn't do it. The Patriots decide to do it. So I do think, like, I mean, listen, there's, I guess each situation is obviously different and unique, right? Because the year you're talking about, I remember those years, and I remember, you know, the whatchamacallit, Matt Castle game. Like, none of you guys are playing. Well, why? Like, none of us played. I remember, like, not even taping my wrist. I didn't even tape my ankles. You know, I wore gloves for warm-ups, and I just took them off. And I was like, what if something happens? I'm probably going to have to start all
but
over again.
But then, just going to say.
It was, like, really risky.
It was a little dangerous. Yeah. I wasn't wearing a helmet.
But no.
But then there are the seasons where, you know, it didn't matter, and Wes Welker's out there in a week 17, blows his ACL, and you're like,
there you go.
And then you're done. At that point, you were absolutely cooked. So that's the one thing. Like, Bill hasn't done it the same every time.
Yeah.
But there's also been different examples. Like, some years you have a bye but not home field wrapped up. So you're like, we already have the bye, so you treat it a little bit differently. Sometimes you can't move at all. The one time you were going for an undefeated season, so that kind of is completely different than all the other times. And then this year is sort of, you you can only do so much because so much of it is in other teams' hands.
Well,
like the number one seed was alive until last night. That's now done.
That's right. Well, the 207 says, is it different because it's a rookie, a quarterback, versus Tom Brady, a quarterback, in terms of trying to keep the momentum going?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a little bit different, right? But it's still this, you can't simulate a playoff atmosphere.
Right.
So I think whether Mac Jones plays the whole game today or a half a game or not even at all, next week is going to be sort of, holy crap, this is the playoffs. At least it has to be. I mean, he'll tell Lou and Christian that it's not, it's just another game, and blah, blah, blah. But you know that the playoffs is so different.
I've had tougher opponents in the SEC championship game before. I'm not worried about Cincinnati whomever.
But I also think, like, you can have Mac Jones play a half, and hopefully he plays a solid half, and then take him out. I think that could be a good play. I never agreed with the Peyton Manning Colts approach. Because so many times it felt like it backfired for them, where they would build up this great thing, and then they would just lay down and play like three meaningless games. They would bench their guy, but then they wouldn't play week 17 or the bye week. So now it's 2 weeks off, and then they're like, all right, ramp it back
up. You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because the way the Colts went about it was after that, after a week 16 game, it would be, well, we're not playing anybody next week.
That.
So everybody went in knowing that you had the week off. Fourier, isn't a part of the secret sauce for Belichick in situations like this is that you don't find out until, I don't know, 10 minutes before kickoff maybe, that you're not going to play, and that he kind of leaves you on the vine during the week to get the week of work out of you, whereas with Dungy, he was like, nah, take the week off.
Yeah, no, it's funny because being such an older veteran team, the older guys, we always kind of knew. Like, we always kind of, there was always like Brady kind of always knew, and he wasn't keeping any secrets, you know, especially we were like, dude, what's the deal this week? What are we going to do? You know, like the coaches wouldn't tell you anything, but you would usually get an idea from just like whatever they call that, I don't know what they call it, like the veteran leadership group, whatever the hell they called it, like that would meet with Bill.
The leadership committee.
The leadership committee, yeah, whatever it was. So we would kind of have an idea. We'd have a really good idea. Now, but the information stopped with the older guys. Like, I specifically remember, like, there was like a core group of older guys. And there was probably about, I don't know, 15, maybe 15 of them. And we all kind of corresponded. This is when BlackBerries were big. You know, I've got really taking myself back.
Well, God rest the BlackBerry, by the way. With God, the sunset right, of 3G, the BlackBerries have gone away.
Yep. Yeah, I remember I got like a knockoff, stupid, weird version. Everybody was making fun of me because mine was terrible. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I was everybody has a BlackBerry.
You had a BlueBerry.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, exactly. They were like, what's your PIN? I was like, what do you mean, what's my PIN? So everybody was direct messaging, and it's almost like, you know.
It's like Seinfeld with the tip calculators.
I was so embarrassed. But anyway, so it is interesting, like, how most of the time he won't tell you. Like, he doesn't want you knowing whatsoever. But there's other times, I feel like if he trusts his personnel, like the guys, then he'll give you more information. But this team, I feel like, is young, you know, for the most part, with a lot of inexperienced guys in the postseason. I doubt he's going to let them know anything.
Let the defenders figure it out. This is NFL Sunday. Don't forget, tomorrow it is Patriots Monday. Bill Belichick will join the Greg Hill Show. Lawrence Guy and Shaq Mason with Gresh and Keefe and Mac Jones and Maloney and Fourier all tomorrow on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Keefe, I saved this one. You and I didn't get into this during the week because we were ill-equipped to answer this question. But if you go all the way back to that famed 2009 season, remember that was Adalys Thomas and that group, and, well, they had an issue with snow, and some people got there late. And I know players this week talked about, yep, we got the snow speech from Belichick. Fourier.
This isn't the Jetsons.
What does the snow speech sound like from Bill Belichick? And were you around for one of those in the early? Take us into the room. What does that sound like from Bill B. Hood's work?
I tell you what it is. The snow speech is the same speech you get for the bye week. And Keith, I know your daughter's very young, but at some point in time, and Gresh, your kids, older college kids, and maybe, you know, and for mine, that snow speech is basically, don't call me 10 minutes before you're going to arrive that you're going to be late. Like, don't tell me. Make plans early. Adjust for the time. Adjust for the circumstances. Adjust for everything. Like, bye week speech is the same as snow speech. Hey, don't go off someplace and then call me, say you're stuck because your flight can't get you, like you missed your flight or there's a mechanical issue. That means you better fly. You better leave yourself like a day just in case something bad happens so you can get home in time and you won't miss practice, because Bill's not going to hear any excuses about weather or mechanical issues or, you know, a flat tire. Doesn't want to hear it. Same with the snow. Don't call me 20 minutes and saying that you're going to be late because the snow is so bad. Wake up 3 hours early. Get a big truck. Get a ride.
Sleep at the stadium.
Sleep at the stadium. Yeah. Don't. I mean, I actually love that mentality. Mm. Like, it just it makes it impossible for guys to give an excuse.
Damian,
like,
Harris said Jakob Johnson picked him up in a big truck and brought him in
fantastic.
To practice.
Yeah. I tell you what, it wasn't even that bad. Well, I guess it was kind of bad the other day because you guys work from home and so did we.
Yeah. So never mind.
Oh, yeah.
Never mind.
Well, the Greg Hill Show told everybody, there's no snow out there. I'm
I was talking to him
to come down. I was just going to say.
Where I was. Yeah.
You had 10 inches up where you were at. I got like 7.5, for God's sake.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah, the snow speech is always interesting because we've heard so much about them with the snow speeches, and it really became a big deal.
It speaks to the mentality. Doesn't it speak to the mentality of the team? Because like in 2009, you had a few guys that kind of had like one foot in, one foot out. And then just something like that kind of crystallizes it. You're like, all right, these guys weren't really all locked into this team. And that was the one that, again, you know, the Belichick football life stuff. The thing on the sideline, like, I'm not breaking through these guys. It was the same season.
Yes.
The same thing.
That was the punks.
Yes. And then they got absolutely blitzed in the by the Ravens in the
Brady
playoffs.
Brady in New Orleans. Yeah. Well, we can. Bill's like, no, we can't. We don't do anything. We can't get through. We don't do anything right.
You know what the Southern California version of snow speeches?
I'm not kidding. Earthquake.
No, not earthquake. Traffic.
Traffic.
Oh, yeah, traffic. Like, I hear guys talking about, like, it's the same thing. Like, you can't use traffic as an excuse. Like, everybody knows there's traffic. And everybody's, like, most guys kind of live in a radius of, like, what, maybe 5 to 10 miles, maybe?
You're super close to the stadium. And always have.
Everybody is. And there's some of the single guys will live far away because they want to be closer to the action. But most guys live easy, but not in LA. Everybody's spread out. Everybody has a long commute. And the one thing I heard is like traffic is not allowed to be an excuse. Like, no, dude, you live in LA. Like, there's traffic everywhere.
Mac lives in the shed where Spooky World used to be.
Yeah.
So that way he's on property.
Spooky World.
Yeah, Spooky World, right?
Which is now in Cumberland, Rhode Island.
That's exactly out in the woods somewhere. Yeah. And they got whacked, by the way. They got like over a foot of snow out there in Cumberland, Rhode Island. We know that the Patriots playing in Miami has been, well, at times a house of horrors. It kind of depends on the time of year. Fourier is going to shed some light as to why it is so difficult to play in Miami. This is NFL Sunday.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
To NFL Sunday
with Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, and Keefe on WEEI.
Coming to you from the Best Yet Private Brand Studios, it is 9:47. It is NFL Sunday. Gresh, Keefe, Fourier with you. Wiggy off today. Patriots Dolphins at 4:25 this afternoon. How about this? In Miami in December and January, Patriots 2-8. In September, October, November, they are 7-4. Devin McCourty joined the Greg Hill Show on Friday, and he talked about playing in Miami.
No, not really. We talk about hydrating, you know, throughout the week and keeping your body hydrated. I mean, even going in the field house and turning up the heat, I mean, it doesn't simulate, you know, going down there and the sun beating down on you. It's just the truth of the matter is, you know, right now, like, we're in a snowstorm. It's probably 75 degrees, 80 degrees is the high down there today. It just is what it is. You just got to, I think, go out there. You go out there pregame, you kind of adjust your body, and then you get ready to go. So there's not much you can do. You know, I just think it's a mental thing of, like, all right, it's hot. Let's get over it, and let's just go play football.
Foye, there's a lot of people out there who are listening and being like, what? Really?
No.
So help us understand.
I feel like
this.
I'm going to let you down. I feel like you teased such a good tease, and I was like, man, I don't know what the reason is. We had issues playing there when I played with Seattle. We could never beat them there. I mean, I think like, you know, the issues that existed when I played for the Patriots, I didn't really know what the hell they were talking about, to be honest with you. And then, sure enough, we fly down there early on a Friday. We practiced down there, and it was everybody was hurt. It was a disaster. And then we change our uniforms, and we wear like all white, and then we wear all blue. I do not know. I think it is ultimately, in the end, it's mental, because I would say when I played earlier in the 2000s, they were good. They had a good, at least they had a good defense. They had good players. But after that, I honestly, God, I don't know. I don't know why. No one's going to Nikki Beach. Nobody's like hanging out and going down, you know, and hanging out and having a grand old time. There's still curfew. The one thing.
This isn't Atlanta in the NBA. There's always NBA players going to Atlanta the night before. They got in the boom, boom room, and
Vegas,
then they get blown
the NHL,
out the next night.
No. Whatever. It's not.
No. I will say, though, that we knew, you know, the climate change is like, whoa, you know, but not in December and January where. Yeah, I know it's snowing, but I don't feel like there's a strong amount of humidity right now in the winter out there. Not like in September where you can't even breathe. You really don't have any excuses, like zero. Oh, man, it's 80 degrees. That's perfect weather. Give me a break.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. I don't know. Like if because then, you know, if they were to play in a Super Bowl. Now I know there's domes that they've played in, but. If you were to play, like, that's the kind of weather you would want, right? Like, that's sort of like this, like, neutral site where you'd want to go. And, you know, to Fournier's point, like, they had some good teams early on, you know, with Jason Taylor and with Zach Thomas. But the reality is, since 01, so since Brady took over, 20 years, this will now be the 21st season. How many years do you think the Dolphins made the playoffs? Counting
twice.
This year. In 21 years.
I'm going to go twice.
In 21 years? Yeah. Seven times.
Thrice.
Three
times.
Wow.
01, lost in the wild card round. 08, lost in the wild card round. And 16, lost in the wild card round. So they haven't won a playoff game since 2000.
Well, it was against, guess who that was against?
Who was that against?
Your Seattle Seahawks.
Yep. You remember that
Reno,
one? There you go.
4th and 18 completion. All right, that's the end of the game.
No, they beat the Colts in 2000. You must be thinking
was it?
It must be earlier. Yeah. I just looked it up.
So I just looked at weather at Hard Rock Stadium, which, by the way, is at 347 Don Shula Drive.
Well,
how cute is that? Like, will it end up being 351 Foxborough Way?
Belichick.
Or Belichick Way?
It should be.
Yeah.
Belichick Boulevard.
Oh, there you go. 79 degrees, 20% chance of precipitation, humidity 75%.
Seems like a nice day to play football.
Not right? That doesn't sound crazy, does it,
There's
Fourier?
No rain. There's no monsoons coming in where there's going to be like torrential rainstorms that'll be there for like an hour.
That's tomorrow.
And, you know, and they don't play in the dirt anymore, right? So there's no baseball field.
Nope, that's right. There's no more baseball field
down
there.
Well, people always make it out to be like, well, New England and like Buffalo, let's say, have this huge advantage playing in the cold. It's like, look at the rosters of all these teams. Every player's from Florida,
from
Georgia, Texas, California. They're all from warm weather places. So the fact that they have to like adapt to this is bizarre, right? Half their team's Alabama or Georgia guys. Like, they're used to playing when it's warm, but for some reason you put that Patriots uniform on, you're good in the snow, and you stink when it's hot. Like, I don't get it.
For me in Miami, it's not so much the weather as it is the weird things that have happened there, right? Gronkowski back on a, you know, a final Hail play Mary. Of a game yeah. where you end up giving it up and you score a touchdown, right? The game where Jason Taylor just wrecked everybody. That's why I always bring up when everybody's like, when Isaiah Wynn is a really bad game and it's, oh, get rid of him, I'm like, well, we're in the Matt Light, Jason Taylor phase of the season, because every time they played Miami, Matt Light was the worst left tackle in the history of football and needed to be gotten rid of because Jason Taylor would eat him up. Like, it just feels like there are weird things that happen in Miami that stick out more to me, almost more than the weather. And let's take it one step further. Remember when Sperano was here and he came up in 08 and they rolled out the Wildcat with Ronnie yeah. Brown? And it was yeah. like, what is this crap? Yeah. It helped yeah, yeah, him yeah. win a game. Yeah. There's always something weird with Miami no. that we remember other than it was 90 degrees and the humidity was at 80%.
Yeah.
Don't get it.
It's weird because if you took Belichick's record against other teams that are similar in the sense that they don't make the playoffs, right? And again, they're closer to 500 than like the bottoming out of like the Jets and some of those bad teams. But usually Bill would dominate them. But I guess there always has to be a couple of teams. And it seems like the Broncos in Denver is a tough mm-hmm. one, and the Dolphins in Miami specifically. I mean, hell, you know, the 2019 loss at the end of the year where they couldn't stop Fitzpatrick, that was actually in New England.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it's also just the Dolphins, but you know, more specifically in Miami.
You know, the Mile High has the same mystique as Miami. It does. Like when you mentioned
altitude
Denver.
Stuff.
Well, I don't listen. It maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But hell, I played there. I was there for 5 years. Right. You know. So, but I do remember like those are the two stadiums. I think for Denver, it's the altitude.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also just, I don't know, the fans and just the stadium alone. I remember that's always the two stadiums to me. We were always kind of viewed the same. As far as challenges, like there was your obvious challenges, which was the team, and then there was just the environment and the location, which I really think is fake. Like it really is. It's not. It shouldn't even be part of the equation. So fans yelling at you shouldn't be part of the equation. Like the elevation, which really only affects you for like, you know, maybe like an hour, and you get rid of it during warmups. I do feel like it. That shouldn't be part of the equation. Like when you're trying to figure out whether someone's going to win or not, you shouldn't say, "Well, they're in Miami and it's 80 degrees," or "They're in Denver." Like that. Why is that? That's why I think it's 100% mental. Like, and that's why I think guys. That's why I think we were so happy when we finally won down there. Which I think somebody had this stat that was like the first time the Patriots had won down in Miami back in 03, since like 1950 or something crazy. Some crazy number. They've just never won down there in the month of September.
I've always argued that the three things that football players can't control in terms of other elements are heat, wind, and elevation. Because if it's hot, you can't get naked. If yep. you go into the elevation and you start sucking wind, you're screwed. And then the wind's the wind. There's nothing you can do about it. And it feels like Denver, Miami, you know, all of that kind of comes into play.
But who said you can't get naked?
Hey, listen, Antonio Brown tried.
I just yeah, well, that is true.
That's, he did. I think we're right. getting there
on multiple occasions. We're into hour two of this edition of NFL Sunday. Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports Boston joins us next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.